We're going to do things just a little bit differently this morning. We're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to have an invitation before we ever start our sermon today. And I think it's fitting that we come to the cross. So I want to ask you, I know there's some burdens on your hearts this morning. I don't know exactly where you are, what God has on your mind, what God has laid on your heart, but we're going to take just a few minutes right now. Students, if you want to come and you want to pray, you come and do that. Adults, we're going to be talking about prayer today anyhow, and how to have the key to victory against spiritual warfare. And so we're just going to take some time right now. I want to ask you to come. Brad is going to lead us in a prayer in just a moment, but whatever the Lord lays on your heart this morning, I want to ask you, you just come right now. Whatever you need to pray about, you just come right now.
Father God, our great sustainer, redeemer, creator of life, we come before you this morning, Lord, with heavy hearts.
Yes.
Lord, we come before you this morning with hurting hearts, Lord, burdened for a family, Lord, who has lost a child, a loved one. But Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that you are a great God and King, Lord. You are the great comforter of all things. And Lord, we pray for a peace. We pray a comfort upon this family today. Lord, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, we come and we know that we serve a Jesus who stands in the middle of our trials, our tribulations, our circumstances. And so, Lord, I pray and I'm just so thankful today, Lord, that we have a risen Savior. That Brody is in the presence of today.
Yes.
And Lord, I just come and I just pray, Lord, that you just have your hand upon this family, upon their life, upon their home. Lord, for Brent, Stephanie, Kyle, this entire family, Lord, that you just stand in the middle of their lives, Lord, over these coming days and months, Lord. As I, Lord, selfishly pray, I never stand where they're standing today. Lord, for all those families who have lost a child, Lord, and especially a young age, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as I'm sure this brings back memories, it brings back some hurt, Lord, that probably never really leaves, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you be with them families as well, Lord. You just draw them to your side, Father God, Lord, and that you send your angels to comfort and minister to them, Lord, for these students today, for these families, Lord. For these students that sat in the classroom with Brody, Lord, who played on a team with him, Lord, as a teammate to him, Lord, that just passed him in the halls, Lord, as they hurt today, Lord, I pray that you help them realize, Lord, that your word tells us that we are to not grieve without hope, but we grieve with hope today, knowing that we do serve that risen Savior, Lord, and that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help these students realize, Lord, as they grieve together, Lord, to let it out, but Lord, also let out the name Jesus.
Yes.
Through the hallways of the school, through their sports teams, Lord, to take this opportunity when there is many ears that's going to be turned to them, Lord, to share the name Jesus in the life of many students, Lord. And I pray through Brody's life, Lord, as we heard the testimony of his life, Lord, how he loved his Jesus, Lord. And I believe that right now, by according to the authority of your word, that he's in the presence of Jesus, Lord. I pray that these students will share that in the lives of the lost in their hallways, Lord, and they will use this for an opportunity for salvation to ring through. And Lord, as we gather right now, though, as we kneel before you in your altar, Lord, I just pray that you just continue to have your hand upon this grieving process. Lord, I pray for our parents today, Lord. I pray that we as parents will realize that our students are capable of much more than we give them credit for. And that we will help them, we'll spur them on, we will teach them your truths and the authority of your word. Lord, I pray for fathers today, Lord, in America. I pray you burden them, burden us, Lord. Press upon us so hard that we can't escape from it no matter where we go, that our main objective should be to teach our children your word. Once again, Lord, we just pray your will be done in these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen.
I want to ask that you would take your Bibles this morning, that you would join me in Daniel chapter 10. The title of our sermon this morning is called Resistance. You ever notice in life, it seems like there are always struggles, doesn't there? It seems like every step in life, whether we're children, there are struggles as we learn how to walk. They fall down a lot. They get a lot of bruises on them. Get beat up a lot. And then as we continue to grow, we never stop falling down, it seems like. Even as we become adults, we never stop falling down. It seems like literally there is this tug of war with our lives. Seems like for a moment things are going well, and then all of a sudden something happens and we take a back seat to things going well again, and then there's struggles, and those struggles are sometimes so overwhelming that it's difficult to continue to put one foot in front of the other, isn't it? Have you ever been there as an adult? Where it's just so overwhelming that being a parent sometimes is just so overwhelming that we don't know how to do it sometimes. Or just getting up and living our lives out loud for Jesus, sometimes we don't do it because we feel inadequate to do it. And I'm going to tell you, as a church, you and I, there is literally a tug of war against your soul every single day. As a child of God, we thank our dear, sweet Jesus that we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. But the issue with you is, now that you're saved, Satan's greatest desire is for you to be a prayerless people. He doesn't want you to pray. Because prayer is what moves mountains. Do you know that? Prayer is what makes things happen in heaven. Prayer is what literally parted the Red Sea. Prayer is what moves heaven on your behalf. It's about prayer. It's about you being in communication with God. And so my prayer is today, as you experience this resistance in your life to pray, because prayer is difficult. It's hard. It's not easy to do. And as you find yourself wanting to pray more, you need to realize that Satan is going to try and make you pray less. And there's going to be that resistance. And so this morning, as we look into the Word of God, I want you to know that there's a mystery there. But I want you to know that there are keys to being victorious in this spiritual warfare that we're facing. And so there are really about four things that I want to share with you concerning the Word of God this morning about prayer. Daniel chapter 10, we're going to really be in the whole chapter. I'm going to start with verses 2 and 3, I think. And I know I told you I was going to start in verse 10, but I need to read verse 2 and 3 also, if you can get that up there. So I want to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel said this, beginning in verse 2, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." Verse 10. "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. He said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I've now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I've come because of your words.'" We pray with me, Father in heaven today. Lord, I want to thank you that we can have a burden on our hearts and we can humble ourselves in your presence, and Lord, that our words are heard by you in heaven. And blessed Lord, that you send an answer. Sometimes we don't receive it. Father, I pray that through your word today, we would understand that we can definitely have victory as we enter into this spiritual warfare that is so real, especially when it comes to our prayer life. And Father, that our prayers can be potent as we draw our power from you. So Father, speak to us through your word today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe that spiritual warfare is real? Church, do you believe that spiritual warfare is real? You believe that it's real. You understand that it's real in the world that you can't see, right? You understand that our greatest struggle don't really happen in the flesh. Our greatest struggles happen spiritually. When we try and go to God in prayer, it seems like there's resistance always to our struggles. It seems like there's something always holding us back from being able to pray with power the Bible way we talked about last week. There's something just pressing us down. There's something burdening us, and it just does not release its power on us so that we can really pray, so that we really are able to approach God in a way where we know that he's listening to us. I want to tell you right now that that's the devil. I want to tell you that spiritual warfare is real, and we're going to look at even Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. But make no bones about it. There is a demonic force that is fighting tooth and nail against you, men and women who love Jesus. And as we look at the Word of God today, you're going to see through Daniel's testimony that he was experiencing many of the same things, many of the same struggles, many of the same burdens. But he took it to God, and as he took it to God, God was able to fulfill that prayer request that Daniel had. Even though it didn't happen when Daniel wanted it, it happened. And so as we look into the Word of God today, I want to share something with you. Verses 1 through 9, is all about describing Jesus. Listen to what some of the word says as he goes on. Daniel says in verse 4, he says, "Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen." He was seeing a vision. God had placed a vision before him, and he was being a witness to something phenomenal, something that only you and I can dream of being a witness to. Listen to it. He said, "I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold. His body was like beryl." It's a type of topaz. It's a type of jewel that is so beautifully, brilliantly shines that it's difficult to describe its beauty. And his body, listen, was like this beautiful topaz, this beautiful emerald that's too beautiful to describe. That's what that means. His face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire. His arms and his feet like burnished bronze in color. And he sounded, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Wow. Do you kind of catch that vision just a little bit? Just a little. Listen, and he says, "I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me, they didn't see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." "Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me. My vigor was turned to frailty in me. I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face with my face to the ground." Can I tell you something? This is Daniel catching a vision of King Jesus. Doesn't that excite you just a little bit? He's seeing Jesus in all of his glory. He's seeing Jesus in all of his power. He's seeing Jesus with literally the power of heaven at this point. And he's seeing him in a way that he understands what he's seeing and who he's seeing. Now, the first time that you've ever read something like this, you maybe haven't thought of it, but do you know that John the Revelator, even the very same thing, he saw this when he was on the island of Patmos? John the Revelator did. He saw King Jesus such as this. Revelation chapter 1 depicts this. And let me just find this real quick and turn there. It says, "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit of the Lord. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last." Then he goes on down, verse 17, he says this. He says, "And when I saw him," talking about Jesus, "he said, I fell at his feet as dead." He didn't have any strength in him. He had lost his strength. He's talking about Jesus again. Isn't it amazing how we begin to weave these things through this pattern, and we're able to see that Jesus has always been there for us in our greatest time of need, and he's revealing himself to us. But the moment that he realized who it was, he fell at his feet like a dead man. Do you remember Paul on the road to Damascus? Do you remember that he saw this great, grand vision of Jesus Christ? He was blinded by his beauty. He was blinded by his glory. Everyone else, they couldn't see him. They could hear what was going on. But Paul fell lifeless. Beautiful picture when you begin to put all of these things together. And the great thing and the point that I think you and I need to make this morning is that when you and I really enter into the presence of God, that there is no strength in us, that it zaps it, that our hearts are so full and overcome with glory that you cannot stand in the presence of God. We sing the song, Will I stand in his presence or to my knees? Will I fall? I want to declare today, you will not be able to stand in the presence of King Jesus when you meet him face to face. We see that through the scripture this morning. So for Daniel, he was struggling. He was praying. I shared with you last week, he had received this vision, this word from God, that in 3 years, they were going back to their homeland. They were going back to Israel. The 70 years was over, where Jerusalem had been desecrated, where the temple of God had been desecrated. Now these 70 years were fulfilled, and the people of God were beginning to make their way back to Jerusalem, and his heart was breaking. Daniel's was, because he knew they weren't ready. And now this vision even goes further into the future to the end. This vision here in chapter 10 talks about the great tribulation that is going to be in a time that has not yet arrived. I'm going to tell you, I believe with all of my heart that we're getting closer every single day. The great tribulation, where the Antichrist is revealed, literally where all hell breaks loose. And this is what has brought Daniel to his knees. God has shared to him. He told him that this was a time that is distant, a distant future, that it has not yet come yet. But he was revealing this to him, and he was so burdened, it says, that he wasn't able to eat. And so I want to share with you 4 points very quickly this morning. It talks about powerful prayer. And you need to understand that you can have a dynamic prayer life, that you can have a powerful prayer life. You can, if you'll get these keys this morning, to so that you can understand how to have victory as you fight these spiritual battles for your family, for your friends, for yourselves, for your church, for the lost in the world. That you can be victorious in your prayer life if you'll just follow God's lead. And so the first thing, if you want to have a powerful prayer life, you understand there's going to be resistance, but the first thing is that it has to start with a burden. Your prayer life, if you're going to have a significant kind of a prayer life, it must start with a burden. Something has to be pressed upon your heart when you go to God, so that you can say, okay, Lord, here it is, and I'm breaking over this. Has to be some level of grief in your heart. You must be grief-stricken almost. And this is what he said. Listen to verses 2 and 3. Daniel said this. He said, in those days, Daniel, I was mourning 3 full weeks. He was brokenhearted, and he was mourning 3 full weeks. During this time where he was mourning those 3 full weeks, he goes on and says this, that I ate no pleasant food. This was a semi-fast is what this was. He was fasting, but he was withholding the good stuff. He probably, I would say most definitely, what Daniel was doing at this point is he was eating only bread and water. I would say most definitely that's what he was doing. I'm going to tell you, if you have to live on bread and water for 3 weeks, it's not going to be a fun 3 weeks, is it? No. But he had something that God had laid on his heart, that God was burdening him about, and he needed to take it to the Lord. You remember I shared with you a little bit last week, if you want to get real in your prayer life, if you would fast, you're going to have to depend solely on God to get you through that time. And Daniel understood that early. Daniel understood. He wanted to get this prayer right. He wanted God to hear his heart, and so there was a fast that was going on. What would happen in our lives if we would fast and pray? Not just pray. Let's don't just be a people of prayer, but what if we would be a people of fasting and prayer? Do you think God would hear us? You get to that point in your life, listen to me, church, where you're so burdened, you're so overcome with something that's going on in and around you, and you say, okay, I'm going to commit. I'm not going to watch television. Maybe that's going to be your fast. I'm just going to spend time in God's presence. I'm going to be reading the Word, and I'm going to be praying the whole time. I'm seeking God's face with this situation. Or maybe you do withhold certain foods from you. Maybe you do decide that's what kind of fast you want to be involved in. And so you set it up. You've got to plan it. Let me tell you, you can't just wake up tomorrow morning and say, I'm going to fast. You're not going to be successful. Plan it out. And say, starting this day, because you've already been preparing, starting this day, I'm going to begin a fast. And then you're ready for it spiritually, as you're already spending time with God, communicating to him in prayer. And then when you begin that day, those hunger pains will be just a little bit less than you thought they might have been. And then as your day goes on, when you find yourself hungry and you're thinking about that, those are the moments, listen to me, when you fast and you pray, those are the moments that you go to the Lord, focusing on Him. That's the purpose of a fast. And so we do that, but it has to start with a burden. Did you know that the whole book of Esther is about the Israelites making their way back to Israel, that journey, that pilgrimage? And you know that it's a beautiful story, but it's also one of some burden as well. How many of you this morning have a burden on your heart about something specifically? Yeah. Yeah. In your prayer, if you're going to have powerful prayer, then it has to start with a burden. That's what happened here with Daniel. There was something on his heart, and he said this in verse 3, I ate no pleasant food, no meat, wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself. He didn't even, in that dry desert that he was living in Persia, he didn't even put lotion on his skin to keep him from drying out. He was fasting, he was mourning during this time. So the first thing is to have powerful prayer. It has to start with a burden. Number two, the second thing is verse 12. And listen to me. Prayer does not stop until an answer comes. Prayer does not stop until an answer comes. How many of us are guilty of praying weak prayers? And we stop those prayers because we don't feel like we're having anything accomplished through those prayer life, through that prayer. We've been praying for something specific and we just give up. Are we guilty of that? Have you been guilty of that before in your past? I have. Any of you been guilty of that? You're praying. I know we don't want to raise our hands to that. But we've been praying and we don't seem like we're getting anywhere with that specific prayer. And so we just give up. We say, okay, Lord, I guess that means no. But that's the wrong attitude to have towards prayer. Listen to verse 10. Suddenly this hand touched him. And it made him tremble on his knees and the palms of his hands. So he was brought to his hands and knees just like this. And he was weak to the point of shaking. That's pretty weak, isn't it? And then he says, and I said, the angel said, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak to you and send to you. While he was speaking the words to me, I stood trembling. Verse 12, then Daniel said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I came because of your words. He was praying. He wasn't receiving a breakthrough. He wasn't receiving an answer. And he continued praying until an answer was received. And it literally says in the Hebrew, when it says that he was touched, it literally means hands on. He felt a hand touch him, just like I'm touching Brad. I shared with you probably more than one time, but I've had that sensation one time in my life as I've been in the ministry and I was praying specifically for something. We were at Poplar Grove. I was in the sanctuary all by myself and I was praying for a breakthrough. Lord, speak to me. Tell me what you want. And then I literally felt the hand of God touch me. It happens. God took his hand and he touched me from the tip of my head all the way down my spine. I felt God's hand. And I want to tell you, it's a marvelous thing when you feel the presence of God like that. You've got to pray until you receive an answer. I received an answer that day. I had been praying, I had been praying, I had been praying, and that was the breakthrough in that prayer that I had been praying for. And literally, I'm telling you, as God is my witness, I felt the hand of God down my back. Special. And so you pray, you don't quit praying until you receive an answer. You know, I think one of the things that we do is we stop praying way too soon. And this is what Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says. It says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is, I think, the way it needs to be done. ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Don't you? What do you think, Brad? Do you think, let me ask you, church, listen, do you stop too soon? In those moments in your life where you're seeking God and you're asking for something specific, do you give up? Do you stop too soon in your prayer life? I think we're guilty of it. But I think we got to keep on until we receive an answer from God. Amen? We've got to keep praying. Third thing that I share with you this morning is this. Write this down. Number 3, verse 13. Prayer is often resisted by Satan's soldiers. Prayer is often resisted by Satan's soldiers. We talked about that spiritual warfare. You've already said that you believe that it's real. Today, this morning, I'm telling you that there is a spiritual battle going on in the atmosphere above our heads that you and I cannot see, but it is literally the battle that is going on, and there is angel fighting demon in the spiritual realm in this church right now, because it's real and it's in every church where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached this morning. There are those spiritual battles that are taking place. It's real, friends. Every Sunday when we're praying and the gospel is presented, I think somebody should be moved to respond to King Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's the evidence is in that alone that people don't move, that the warfare is real. And you've got to be aware of that. You have to know. And this is the Word of God. It's telling us right here that he was being fought by this demon. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Those demons fighting against the angel of the Lord that was trying to come and answer Daniel's prayer. It was a real battle that was ensuing. It was happening. It was taking place for 21 days. This angel, probably Gabriel, messenger of God. It's not, his name isn't mentioned here, but it's probably Gabriel. I'll get it right in a minute. It's probably who it was. And he was coming and he was going to deliver an answer. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle, there was a boxing match that began to take place. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what it might have looked like, but there's probably swords, these spiritual swords that were brought out. Probably some, what's a taekwondo and jujitsu.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that kind of stuff. It was probably all taking place. And we laugh, but it's real. It happens. It's not a joke. I believe that they were some blows that took place, and if it took this angel 21 days to make it, you know it was one more battle. But he kept fighting. And then listen to what it goes on and says. He was praying. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, pay attention to this. Listen to this, he says. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I'd been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So he was not battling just one. He was battling a multitude of demonic hosts in the realm of the spiritual kingdom of Persia. And he was battling, and then all of a sudden Michael, the archangel, comes. And I don't know if you know much about Michael the archangel, but he is the angel of war that does battles. And when he came, he was coming to the rescue. He was literally coming, and he was so focused on what was taking place. You know that Michael is a powerful angel. If you don't, get it this morning, because Michael is a powerful angel. And if you've got him on your side along with the power of heaven, then there is nothing that cannot be accomplished through prayer. It doesn't matter how long it takes you. You've got to continue to pray. You've got to continue to push through. You've got to continue to fight, because there's someone in the spiritual world that is fighting on your behalf. you got to keep praying for that breakthrough. You got to keep praying and trusting God. And so you got to put on the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to verse 11 and 12. Got to put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Did you hear what Paul said in Ephesians? Your struggles are not in flesh and blood. Much as we fuss, as much as we fight, as much as we see this resistance or that resistance, the flesh and blood right here in the real, that's not even where the real struggle or the real fight takes place. That's why it's so important that you stay on your knees, that you stay in that continual, be purposeful in your prayer. You've got to be purposeful in your prayer. You got to continue on. But a struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That says it all, doesn't it? In verse 18, it says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You got to put on the armor of God. Why is it important that you put on the armor of God? Church, so that you'll be able to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked one. Just write Ephesians chapter 6 in your Bible, verse 11 all the way through verse 18. And you go back and you read it this afternoon at home. And God's Word tells you exactly what you need to put on when it comes to the whole armor of God. That's another message. But we've got to be willing to do that because you're engaging in battle with a foe that is real. But here's what I'm here to tell you today is that it's okay that he's real because you and I serve a God that is so much greater than he is. So much greater than Satan is. So much greater than Satan's demons are. This is what 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 says. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Friends, if you serve Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm telling you, you have the power to accomplish anything through prayer. Do not allow Satan to defeat you before you even get started. It's not worth it. You continue to struggle. You continue to fight. Don't give up. You hold your head up high. You shout to the top of your lungs if you need to do that. You tell the devil that he has been defeated already, that the victory is yours. And when you say that, you believe it in the name of Jesus Christ because we've already won the war. Praise God. You've got little battles that's going to ensue. It's going to take place in your life. But you have to keep fighting through prayer. You think it's important? It's important. You got to keep fighting. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Last thing that I submit to you this morning is prayer is our strategic weapon against Satan. Prayer is our strategic weapon against Satan. We've talked about it a little bit already. You got to put on the whole armor of God because the spiritual struggle is that we've seen this morning is just a glimpse of the reality of that spiritual struggle that takes place in your life every single day. It's just a small glimpse. And so as you continue to look at the Word this morning, I'm telling you that prayer is our strategic weapon against Satan. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, verse 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have a divine power to demolish strongholds. Let me read that again. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Not a machine gun, not a set of brass knuckles, not a pocket knife, not a bazooka, not a nuclear weapon. Not of this world. Okay. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. if that don't get you excited, I don't know what will. Because the weapons that you have at your disposal have the power to demolish strongholds in your life. Do you get that? Listen, God wants you to know that you have the power to move mountains. But you've got to tap into that power. Get your extension cord out and go out, whatever you need to do, and you plug into that spiritual power through Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Then it says this. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Talking about that power, right? That power to demolish strongholds, it's found in Jesus Christ. And so we've gathered here today, and I'm telling you that your battle is real. It's not pretend. Satan wants you to be a prayerless people. God wants you to be a praying people. Satan wants you to quit and give up. God wants you to fight and push through. And you can do that, but not on your own power. You have to have the power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, that's where a relationship with Jesus Christ comes in. As we draw near the end of the conclusion of this message, right now, I don't know where you are in your walk with King Jesus. Maybe you've been saved for a long time and you feel like you've been fighting one battle after another and you feel like you're never having success. Let me tell you, do not stop praying. We give up way too soon. For Daniel, you see, he was a man who was struggling in a lot of different areas. You see, through our study of Daniel, that God had come to the rescue in his life so many times. And now he's a man in his upper 80s, and he's continuing to pray and press on. And he's praying the prayer, and he knows God is going to hear him. And for 3 weeks in his upper 80s, he's praying, and he's praying, and he's fasting, and he's praying, but he does not stop seeking God. And so many times, we just stop, and you've got to not stop. You've got to push through. You've got to press on. You've got to pray in season and out of season. You've got to be ready. Not just to give an account, but you've got to be ready to fight against the schemes of the wicked one. He's coming against you. You got to keep fighting. And so as you continue to struggle in your spiritual walk, because we all do, all of us, preachers, preachers' wives, deacons, priests, ministers, everyone who has been called of God, God's children as a whole, you struggle. And I know you do. The greatest thing that you can do as a child of God is to remain faithful to pray and trust God with the consequences. And when you feel like you're not getting a breakthrough, guess what you do? What? What do? You keep praying. And then maybe you feel like you're still not getting anywhere. What do? You keep praying. And then maybe you're getting to a point where you're just not sure. And if you're not sure, what do? You pray. It's going to be resistance. You're going to struggle. You're going to fight a battle every single day. Spiritually. You got to keep praying. And maybe you're here this morning and you really don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, if you want someone that has the power of creation on his side, then you need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Your eternity depends on it. So I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe you've been battling and you felt like giving up time in and time and again. Today, the purpose of this message is to encourage you to continue to fight through prayer. And today, if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, the message is for you. To humble yourself. To acknowledge that you're a sinner. To seek God right where He is. And know that if you seek God right where He is this morning, that He won't stay where He is because He'll come right to you. You got to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead that you might be saved. Are you ready to do that today? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to have an invitation time. And I don't know what God has laid on your heart this morning. I know we've already had a kind of a time of prayer, but friends, I'm telling you, in the lives of people around you, in the lives of your family, in the lives of your friend, eternity depends on your prayer. You praying for them. In your spiritual struggles, in those battles that you face every single day, your victory depends on your prayer. Join me. Father in heaven, today in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before your throne of grace and we acknowledge that we're weak without your power. Father, that seems like we can't even get a dirt clod to move out of our way sometimes. And we're desiring that mountains be moved. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts in such a way that we recognize, that we understand, that as long as we remain faithful to pray, even though it may take some time, that we're going to have victory. And Lord, that the final victory is, the final battle, the final war has already been won. So I pray for these this morning that have gathered, whatever they might be facing, whatever struggles they might be experiencing right now. Lord, I pray that you would begin to speak to their heart even now. And Father, they would realize the importance of prayer. Father, those that don't know you, that you would burden them today. That they would be lost and undone until they invite you, King Jesus, to come into their heart and to save them from their sin and self. Father, we ask it all today in Jesus' name. Amen. You stand this morning. You come.